I had prayed and I had prayed, and what I really wanted was I wanted a marriage that would live in the right way for all my life. I wanted a marriage that was going to last.
Staigute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, you'll hear from a man who knew he wanted something different than the way he was living, but couldn't find the power to change on his own.
My name is Merritt Youngdeer. I'm a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians in Cherokee, North Carolina. I've not always lived in Cherokee. In fact, most of my life I lived away from Cherokee, North Carolina. And the reason for that is my father, who went into the Marine Corps, made a career of the military, and we traveled everywhere that he went. And so every opportunity that we had, we came back to the reservation, but the majority of our years, early years, were away from here. And so I guess you might say we did not grow up here and share a lot of the same things that other folks my age grew up with. Living away, I did not maybe understand and grow up with the same kind of background as my father had. He and his brother had to leave the reservation. They wanted to serve their country, and they were not able to join the military in Asheville, North Carolina. That's the closest town to us of any size, because they were Native, because they were Indian. There were excuses made that they were lantern-jawed, or they had something physical about them to prohibit them going into the military. So they went to Philadelphia and joined the Marine Corps. I'm really glad that they did, because as a result of that, there were certain things in our life and following my parents that I believe were a blessing to us, an advantage to us. But his parents, Jess Youngdeer and his wife, Jane Martha Al Youngdeer, went to Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania, as many Native people did at that time. But jobs were scarce, and my grandfather had to work off the reservation and did labor-type jobs in the dairies and so on. But then came back to Cherokee and raised his family here. But my dad, in being part of that, he had a knowledge, I guess, or a sense of living off and understanding some of the things that went on off the reservation. So I think those things were of advantage to him. But my sister and I were born in Oklahoma. And that was because that's where my father, who had been wounded in the war, was sent back to the United States, and that's where he recovered as a shore patrol in the Naval Ammunition Depot in Savannah, Oklahoma. So my sister and I were born in Oklahoma, but we are members of the Eastern Band, and that was the allowance that was made to be members was because my parents, or my dad, was in the military, and therefore we could be enrolled members. Otherwise, you had to live on the reservation in order to be an enrolled member. But my parents took us to church, or introduced us to who Jesus was, and but we really didn't go on a weekly basis. It seemed like that I pretty much took myself when I had the opportunity. But I know that my dad had told me in later years that after he was wounded and going back to the Pacific that he realized that he needed to get things right in his life, and so he was saved. He was saved at the Echota Baptist Church in Cherokee, North Carolina, and baptized in the Oconaluftee River just below the church. And so I have heard his testimony, and I've heard my mother as well in her belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I still remember that she had read Bible stories to me as a young boy. And I know that that was a real interest to me. I had to ask her to read it again. And so she would read to me. And that was pretty much my understanding or backdrop as far as knowledge of Christianity. And so after living here and going to school in the 11th grade at the Cherokee Indian School, which previously was a boarding school, I went to Haskell Institute in Lawrence, Kansas. And really part of the reason for my going was I needed to get away. I needed to change my surroundings. There were things that I was doing at that age were not good. I needed to make some changes in my life, and that had to do with alcohol. And so I went to Haskell, and one of the things that happened to me at Haskell was I had prayed. I had asked the Lord if he would send me a young lady that was a pure young lady, a good young lady, upstanding young lady, one that I could love, one that I could spend my life with, one that would make me try to walk the line for her, to live right for her. I wanted a change in my life, and I had prayed and asked the Lord if he would do that. Now, you know, at that time, I didn't really know the Lord other than what I've already told you. I had never made a profession of faith in believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I had cried out to him. I had asked him for this. And I know that the Bible and the scriptures say that, you know, that he does not hear the prayers of a sinful man. And that's what I was. I was a sinful young man. I didn't know the Lord, but yet I know that he answered my prayer. He answered my prayer in sending me a beautiful young lady, Choctaw young lady, and she had all those qualifications that I wanted. And she had been raised in a Christian home. Her mother, they were traditional from the standpoint that their language was the only language that they spoke in their home. So she had grown up speaking her language. I had grown up mostly off the reservation, so I just knew words and phrases, but she knew her language. And the one thing that she did know was that her godly grandmother who raised her, since her mother had passed when she was two and her father had left, she just had her grandmother to rely on. Well, her grandmother raised her in the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And so she was what I truly needed, and the Lord knew that that was who I truly needed. But we married, and then at a little mission chapel on the campus at Haskell Institute, I walked the aisle one Sunday morning, and I had prayed and I had prayed, and what I really wanted was I wanted a marriage that would live in the right way for all my life. I wanted a marriage that was going to last. I didn't want a marriage that was going to be short-lived and to feel as a failure. And so that's what I wanted, and that's what I prayed for. And I took her to Rosebud, South Dakota, my first duty station, and worked for the Rosebud Indian Hospital. And after being baptized in Lawrence, Kansas, I sought to live what I thought had to be a perfect life. And I really tried to do that. And you know what? I couldn't do it. I could not do it as much as I tried. And it was a struggle every day. My thoughts and things that I would say and things that I shunned and tried to get away from, were all around. And I just felt like I couldn't live this life. I felt like this is the life of a Christian and I couldn't be that way. And so I kind of gradually fell away. And what kind of took the place was, going back to having a beer. That was a social life to drink. And so as we, grew up and got older together in our marriage, in our various travels, different Indian reservations that I worked on. You know, this was our social life. This is what we would do. We would have friends over, or we would go somewhere with them, and it all centered around drinking. We didn't get to the point where we were losing our marriage. But this is what we were doing. And I got to the point where I wasn't happy and I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't really enjoying what I was doing. There was something missing in my life. And I felt like that I needed to get things right. I needed to put some things aside. And then the Lord sent us from Warm Springs, Oregon, on the Confederated Band of the Warm Springs Indians in Warm Springs, to Aberdeen, South Dakota. And my job had sent me there, and I had risen up in the ranks of the Bureau of Indian Affairs and responsible positions, and had a successful career. And so then I was asked to go to Aberdeen, that there was a job for me to do, and they felt that I was the one to do that job.
Well, we've run out of time, but before we close today's program, let me ask you, does any of this sound familiar? Perhaps you've turned to religion, hoping that God would somehow take notice, but you still feel distant. Or maybe you've tried to be good, only to find that you just don't measure up. The truth is, until we come to the end of ourselves and realize that there's nothing we can do on our own to please God, we will be restless in our souls. God calls us to turn to Him, to look to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice He made on our behalf. Listen to His words. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus suffered and died for our wrongdoing so that we could have peace with God. He did what we could never do, and then simply calls us to trust Him as our Savior. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. Our web address is withoutreservation.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Merritt's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.